Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 3 of Overlooked and Undercooked season 3. Now, this is a tricky one, so Guy's going to explain what's going on.
So, it's tricky because some people are having trouble understanding the name of the special. This is called Asian Mama, Mexican Kids. And do you know why, Tim?
I couldn't be more angry at you. I threw up a fucking inflated child's beach ball for you to lightly tap back into the court, and you fucking brought a needle and popped it. Unbelievable. It's because I can't believe you found a way. Guys, we've already recorded the season. I've had it up to fucking here with Guy Montgomery's reminder of the ethnic makeup of this family that's referred to in the special. We're time traveling right now. We are doing this after we've recorded all the other episodes because the audio unfortunately got lost for our guest's part. And our guest, I'm delighted to say, is Joseph Moore.
Yes.
Hi, Joseph.
It is. Hello. So, such a privilege to watch this show again.
You're listening to this as our third episode. We have recorded this after all the other episodes.
We recorded this months after the entire season has been done.
I am so interested in your commitment to the canon of this episode that you're still placing it where it was. So should you guys be behaving this entire time like this is only the third time you've seen it?
No, I've already...
It's impossible to do that.
We don't lie to the audience.
Well, make this the last episode?
I've said it out loud now. It's the
That doesn't make any sense.
Okay.
No. In case we reference things that are brought up later in the season.
There's an arc. This whole season's got an arc.
What I would like to say is this. So the special is so named because Rob Schneider's mother is Asian. He's got an Asian mama. But his kids?
Filipino.
Yeah. Mm. His kids, however, are Mexican.
Yeah. Why did he go broad continent description for his mother and specific for his wife?
One of so many questions I have.
Surely Asian mama, Hispanic kids, or Filipina mama, Mexican kids.
Yeah. I mean, options abound. It is interesting to think about, isn't it? Why he set it on the title that he did. But I'm glad we're all on the same page now. We know what we've watched. We know why it was called what it was called.
Why?
Why is it called Asian Mama Mexican Kids?
Guy.
I'm so glad you asked. The mama is Asian, Rob's mama. But the kids, they're Mexican.
What's his dad?
Insist that we move on. Not mentioned at all.
No, I don't think so.
There's a picture of him at the end of the credits, I think.
No, it's his mom.
No, I think there's both of them, isn't there?
I don't know.
No, you're right. No, yeah. It is just his as we would say in New Zealand, mum.
Yes. So this is...
Why didn't they change the name for Netflix New Zealand so we can understand?
Yeah, I know, right? They really should have. It's sort of culturally
insensitive. If they could change Philosopher's Stone to Sorcerer's Stone,
yeah,
they could easily make this Asian mum.
Do you reckon he would then have to
Mexican
redub?
Little rascals. That's what we call kids here.
We call kids in New Zealand.
Yeah. We've watched... Tim and I have now watched this 8 times. Joseph, you've now watched it 3 times.
Probably. Yes. More than most of your guests.
That shouldn't be the case.
Probably 2 more than you thought.
So I'd watched it on my own accord.
Yeah.
Which made you go... Hey, do you want to do the podcast? And I watched it again for the podcast, and then we lost the audio. I'm going to say I lost the audio.
Can you please rank the enjoyment of the special in order from first
well,
to third
this viewing? This third viewing today was my first one not alone, so the social element was really nice. And I introduced a rule that we used to have in a flat I used to live in, whereby if the audience claps, you clap.
Yes. And it's quite a good way of seeing how often the audience claps.
Yeah, and it's just good to feel part of something. We used to do it in the house I lived in, and we'd watch David Letterman. Are you familiar with that show? You know about this?
Yeah.
You heard about
this? He was a late-night talk show host.
So in New Zealand, they used to play the episodes about a month late. So you'd get a nice preview for a movie from early June. And we'd watch Letterman every night at our house, and you had to applause every time the audience did at any joke.
See, do you know, this would make more sense to me if it happened in 2020 during one of the lockdowns where we were longing for human connection. But you were doing this years ago when you could actually just go out and enjoy live entertainment.
Yeah, there was a world of it out there for us. But no, we wanted to see Gerard Butler talk about
one of his famous
films. President Man.
I was written Eagle Down. No, that's not it. What was the one where the White House gets penetrated?
There's three of them.
What? Only one with him, though, surely.
No, he's in all of them. London has fallen, Olympus has fallen, and Angel has fallen.
Was he in 300 as well?
Yeah, he was.
I always get Gerard Butler and Clive Owen confused. Does that make sense to anyone?
Nope.
Nah.
Is that anything?
They're very different. So, Guy, you brought up that it was so nice and I don't know if you actually said nice. You said it was so different to watch this out of a lockdown context. Because when we were doing the rest of these episodes, we were kind of all watching them. I think we watched all of them solo, respectively, and then came together on the internet.
We started during lockdown, and by the end of it,
we were
in person, sitting shoulder to shoulder.
Oh, right.
But yeah, it just feels like inside of the fog of a lockdown and a repeated viewing system, it sort of you lose sight. And I was more liable to become angry at Rob Schneider because I didn't like the material. But in this instance, it sort of casts a much sadder shadow over the whole thing. And I feel like I'm watching it more like I can see the distance between myself and my relationship to the material. So I'm watching it more objectively with more distance between me. And it's just quite it's just a bit sadder.
Yeah. How would you describe it, Joe?
Rob Schneider claims throughout it to speak for all men.
Yes.
And it made me sad for him, but also worried for myself.
Because he could be right?
Yeah, what if?
You might have peak potential.
But not yet, but I'm not 50 yet like him. Maybe, and, you know,
yeah,
we could have similar career trajectories.
I don't think so, Joe.
I think you could. There are some useful for instances in here. So in Rob Schneider's world, all men, when when they go on a date with a woman, they only want sex. And if a relationship happens,
less so sex, more specifically to grab her breasts without her knowing.
Yes. And the way you do that is you put your hands outstretched in front of your own chest and walk towards them.
Yeah, like there's a spider web in the way.
Yes. And it's dark. That's what women like.
So, you know, as a for instance, can you empathize or relate to these examples?
No, but who knows how sad I'll become. You know?
Mm. Well, yeah,
I'm going to aim not to, but I just worry. I worry if that's a path for any of us. I'm sure Rob Schneider, when he was 30, wasn't like,
I think I
can't wait to one day be the saddest man in the entire world.
I don't think that was his goal, but I think that Rob Schneider at 30 is exactly the same guy as Rob Schneider at whatever age he was when he recorded this.
Exactly.
Like, all of this material feels like it was lifted from that specific era in his life. And
hold on for a second. How old was he when he was
famous?
At the pinnacle?
I think mid 20s.
Movies.
Well, he said he's
early 30s.
How old does he say he is now?
I think we looked this up. He's like 52, something like that.
Right. So he'd be 30 doing Juice Bigelow.
And The Hot Chick and Deuce Bigelow 2.
European Gigolo.
He's 57.
Seven.
Okay. So I'm not yet at my Juice Bigelow age.
What will be Joseph Moore's Juice Bigelow?
Well, my movie, Juice Bigelow, the reboot. Which I hope will be my vehicle.
Can you tell us a bit about the movie? What do you reckon would be?
Are there any changes to the sort of core themes or setup?
There's a different climate, isn't there?
There is.
Right now,
that's right.
Sex work has a lot more kind of, as people talk about it, with more nuance. And yeah, so our film will reflect that. It'll be a gritty look at sex work as told through. And the reason people get into sex work as well is not like Juice Bigelow did it to help cover the costs of repairing a fish tank.
Oh,
whereas often it's just like kind of hardship or supporting kids. So mine will be more like that.
Wow. So is it, you've taken away a lot of the comedy elements.
I didn't say it would be a comedy for a second.
I just thought if you're doing a Deuce Bigelow reboot, you'd keep some of it.
Yeah, Guy, keep up. I think Joseph Smith was reboot.
Well, the comedy will be
reboot.
Like a kind of natural human interactions, kind of, and the warmth people get inside just from seeing themselves reflected on screen.
Wow.
It'll be mainly sex workers who find it funny.
Will there be any, will you date any tall woman?
Oh, yeah. There's still going to be a big, giant woman. And there's still going to be, from the sequel, but we're putting it into the first one, there's still going to be a woman with a penis for a nose.
Wait. That is funny.
Yeah.
Is that in the first one?
The second one.
Is it?
He meets a woman with a penis for a nose, yes.
That is so far from what we're watching now in a stand-up, which is pretty much 40 minutes of him gaslighting his wife and entire family to an audience of paying fans.
Yeah, that's fucking wild, eh?
And then brings his wife out on stage and goes, here she is. Here's the horrible burden on my life who wants to leave me.
Before he brings his wife out, he's also talked a lot about his daughters, and then out of the blue, after 40 minutes, brings out a third, to this moment, unmentioned daughter, famous soul singer Al King.
That is truly one of the most astounding. I didn't know it was coming the first time.
Yeah.
And like, I did. I would that I were drinking. A spit take.
Because you're a big music person. You're a musical
and a huge
comedian.
Schneider fan.
Yeah, Schneider head.
So you know about Al King. Like, we had no idea this woman existed or her career or anything. But
I'm one of the all the King's horses, we call ourselves. The fan group. I know of Al King. I know her song X's and O's.
So it must have been fucking crazy for her to.
But yeah, and I knew she was Schneider. There was a fun tidbit I have that now I assume the world knows.
As the world have all watched the special.
Yeah.
It seems crazy to me as well that there is some attempts at structure in the special. He like tries to do some callback jokes, for example, where you set something up and then you remind people you've said it, and a comedy audience fucking love that shit.
The easiest trick.
At no point does he mention his eldest. And it would be such an easy thing to just put a story in about her somewhere in amongst all
the other kids' stories.
Then she walks out at the end and sings a song with them. What a button on a gag.
As Joseph so brilliantly noticed, though, a lot of this material is Rob Schneider having noticed stuff 24 hours before he remembered he had to tape a special. And so the sample size that he's drawing material from is literally only that 24 hours.
There's so many observations in it that feel like he's just recently decided that he has to start observing his family because he has the special coming up. Like, he stretches 5 minutes out of like a son telling him about a dream, or this kid telling him about a dream. And not a particularly good dream.
Absolutely not.
But it was that morning. He's like, God, I need something else. And as it currently stands, I'm bringing Al King out at 22 minutes. I need to stretch this into a good 37.
And then he remembered
for my hour-long Netflix special.
And he also remembered that he had a bevy of accent work up his sleeve. He just knows, he doesn't know what the material is, but he knows if he gets into the accent work chunk, and he can pad for a minute.
I'm certain that was not, he didn't plan to do the accent. He did one joke in an accent and it hit better than anything.
Well, the good thing about Rob Schneider is he may not have been paying attention to his family, but he has been paying close attention to the Asian American community through his life and has a well of observations to draw upon.
Oh, yes. Chinese restaurants and Korean whorehouses, I believe, are the two targets.
Asian Americans not constituting any of the homeless population of America.
That's right. Those are the famous Rob Schneider Asian American facts that he spins into several hilarious bits. He also misses an opportunity for a callback on his iconic Korean whorehouse material, because at one point when he's doing that joke, he says, this is the room where you suck your own dick, which I would argue, stripped of the context that he specifically sets up to deliver that line, is a funny sentence. It's a funny idea.
It's a funny bumper sticker.
It's funny to go to a room to do a thing which is, in my experience, very difficult, if not impossible, to do.
That you can easily do in your own house.
Yeah, that's right.
You'd not have to venture to a whorehouse, Korean or otherwise.
Exactly. And so it's funny. And then at the end, when he does his big iconic closer, which is, of course, making a sundae out of his dick because his wife doesn't want to fuck him. And he's in the kitchen and he's describing an ice cream sundae as though it's like the cleverest, most rapturous thing. And then at the end of it, his wife comes in and finally sort of says, acquiesces and says, okay, fine, I guess I should try out the sundae you've made. And he says, no, you got to make your own. And then he should say, what is this? A Korean whorehouse, huge shoots of applause come up from the audience. But instead, it sort of just
thanks,
tapers.
Everybody. That's my time. 36 minute mark.
Thanks, everybody. By the way, I have another daughter.
My only non-Mexican kid.
Joe, what would have to go wrong at a minimum in your life for you to go from this, where you are right now, to Rob Schneider at 57 with these opinions and this take on the world?
I've been recently engaged, as you know.
Congratulations. Yeah,
thank you. So that would have to be called off pretty soon.
Yeah.
to start the downward trajectory.
I think later, though. Like, day of.
Day
sort of.
Maybe
he's had three divorces, let's bear in mind. So there's lots of time. No, Rob Schneider.
Oh, right. So
there's lots of time.
To this date, no divorces.
There you go. I also feel like that the failure of your gritty Juice Bigelow reboot at the box office might go somewhere to deteriorating your mental health to a point that...
That's what it is. So day of, Laura decides, no way, I'm out. Yeah. I hate this, and I hate you.
I hate you. You don't spend any time with me. You're upstairs writing your Juice Bigelow reboot.
But you've refused to cast me in.
I think that's the project that you do to get yourself out of the funk.
Right.
You pick that up to be like, I need something to moor me in this
ocean of emotion. It's a documentary.
And then...
Yeah, I go... what I do is I go method.
Yeah, exactly.
And to fund the picture, become a male gigolo
who only dates
comically unattractive women.
Anticipating the success of this fictional drama, you preemptively film a behind-the-scenes documentary about your method acting.
Do you know what's
the documentary
funny?
Becomes a viral success with me as the laughing stock of it all.
Male gigolo is a tautology, and male is only there to meet the rhythm requirements of the title of the film.
Of course, here in New Zealand, if it got released on Netflix, it would be called Juice Bigelow, Male Sex Worker.
I think internationally, that's what we'll go with to show that I use respectful language in this film.
To cajole some of the libs into the cinema.
Mate, go woke, go broke. You
did you have any standout bits, Joe? Like, are there any jokes or stories love?
I don't want to be the guy going on the podcast talking shop. this isn't Pete Holmes, You Made It Weird, but...
We do a lot of it.
Okay, so here's one of my crazy theories about crafting comedy is you should always get bigger as the joke progresses. You should start with your smallest laugh and end with your biggest laugh.
Okay.
And if you're going for shock value, you should always increase the shock value. And when it gets as high as it can, say, I don't know, 9/11, then you pull out of the joke and move on to another one. Rob Schneider drops a 9/11 gag about 1 minute into a 7 minute bit. So the for those who listen to the podcast and aren't watching the special, I don't know who in their right mind, but
yeah, most people.
So the bit he's talking about how Chinese restaurants will don't care about holidays. For example, Christmas, they all say, fuck Jesus.
Fuck Jesus while flipping the bird with both hands to Jesus
Christ.
And
then he starts saying they'll even celebrate things that aren't holidays just to stay open.
The bridge between pulling the fingers at Jesus and getting to 9/11 is when President Kennedy got assassinated. It's like there's a special in between those two where it's like a president assassination special.
Oh my God, you're right.
The 2-for-1 president assassination special.
His idea of what generates specials in Chinese restaurants is Christmas. So they're open in spite of everyone else being closed. And one of the most beloved American presidents being shot in the head dead.
That suggests,
and then 9/11, their greatest terrorist attack
on home soil. Christmas, that's an observation that works because quite often a Chinese restaurant will be open on Christmas.
In spite of everyone else being closed.
Whereas others aren't. Yeah. But everyone else doesn't close on 9/11.
Or when JFK got assassinated.
So he built to this hilarious...
It's just 9/11... 9 types of soup, 11 types of noodles.
Nine types of meat.
Sorry, 9
Do
types
justice
of meat.
To the, come on.
9/11 special, 9 types of meat, 11 types of noodles.
Ha 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 ha. Joe, can I ask a favor?
Yeah.
Can you say noodle like he says noodle?
No, I just won't. that's one of the only people who've watched it. And that's bold. I don't know. Maybe Americans listening will
I actually said as we were watching it that even if I was a diehard Rob Schneider fan and had bought tickets to watch this taping, yeah. I would be confused at how I feel at this point in the special.
Especially for you've lived in New York, guy. Was that an often brought up topic in comedy nights? I know it's like a fun.
No, 9/11 is like their 9/11.
I know it's often an easy punchline that people like doing.
They reach for, but the low-hanging fruit.
I had one in a comedy show I did. We did it in Edinburgh. They loved it. But I reckon I'd pull it out of the show for them.
I don't think it just seems odd that in Utah you're pulling out this shock value material. These are
Mormons.
Well, also True Blue Americans. We looked up this is the most, the second least diverse state.
The ninth least diverse. But still, still pretty undiverse.
Like 90% 50, white population.
Yeah.
These are people who, this stuff would be hitting them in the bloody right in the chops.
Literally, Mitt Romney and his family. I wonder if Mitt Romney went to the gig.
Romney clan.
Yeah.
At their favourite comedian.
I reckon they get a real kick out of it.
Schneider's sitting backstage. He's getting ready to go on. He's doing his accents in the mirror. And then his producer comes in and he's like, I don't want to alarm you, but Mitt Romney's just shown up and requested 5 tickets for him and his family. Do we let him in? And he's like... Yeah. And it changes it. I remember I did a comedy gig and I went on Twitter before the show and I saw that Lord, the singer, was in the crowd. Someone had tweeted that.
New Zealand's Mitt Romney, Lord.
But it changed, even though she was a 17-year-old girl at the time, I was stressed out. I was like, this has to go well. In case Lord tells Taylor Swift about this gig she went to. And it really ruined me. So I bet Rob Schneider went through similar.
I was in that gig. I thought you did a great performance.
And Lord did the same, right? She told people that you were awesome.
I rewrote a bit where I did a little song. I did a little song in the show. And I was like, I know it's not up to scratch and Lord won't be happy. So I kept the change version for the rest of the season. So.
Well, there's a little tip for the at-home comedians is write as though Lord is in the audience. All of your jokes up to the standard of if Lord is in the audience.
Live as if Lord is watching.
So do you reckon when Schneider was told Romney was showing up +4, what was the last minute Romney addition to his show?
There's so many.
Al Kang. He's got, at age 57, he's got enough self-awareness to be like, I cannot do 37 minutes of railing on my wife and Asian Americans for a former presidential candidate. I need something.
All-American story, reconciling
family. So he brings up his very estranged daughter, Al Kang, who is currently on tour in LA, and he says, Al, I know that we've had our differences. I know that the rift generated by me deciding to marry a woman less than 2 years older than you has created distance between us on top of our already tumultuous relationship. But I really need you to do this for me. And begrudgingly, she gets on a plane because she is a decent person who respects the institution of family and helps out her dad, Rob Schneider, who then takes it too far. And if you watch the special, you will see this, embraces her and forces this big kiss on her that she doesn't want. Clearly, they're not there yet.
I think the reason that there's that little bit of tension there is because when Al Kang was on the plane, Rob Schneider was like, Mitt Romney's into politics. I'll do my political material, the JFK 2-for-1 assassination bit, and my 9/11 meat and noodles, and text Al saying, don't worry about it. I've got this. And then she said, I've just landed. He said, well, you might as well come then. And so there's still this incredible unresolved. He took it both ways.
The show's running 3 hours behind at the stage. Romney's sitting in the crowd on his second ice cream. this thing better start soon.
No, because it's because it's Mitt Romney just politely remaining in his seat. No, kids, I'm sure the show's about to begin. He's a nice guy. I watch Mitt. He's a decent human, I think.
Which do you think of the Sandlerverse? Which of the guys would have opened for Schneider? Who would you send out?
David Spade.
Open it, no
it's
way.
It's so crazy. It's crazy.
What do you mean?
Who's the guy that, he's like a kind of a buff dude?
Swartzen.
Nah, he's like a buff dude.
Dante? Peter Dante?
Quite, yeah, I think that sounds more like
Peter Dante's a little stick of dynamite who's quite muscly, but yeah, kind of not tall.
Yeah, yeah, that's the guy. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I think he opened for him.
he does a lot of weed material, eh? Peter Dante's big into weed.
He's shown up on TMZ a few times. If you look at Peter Dante on YouTube, you have yourself a good time.
Yeah. He's quite a relaxed... There's a lot of videos
seems relaxed,
of him.
But there's also...
That's true.
Reports of him not being very relaxed.
He's Do you know what he strikes me as? This might not land for a lot of people, but those who do.
But I'm going to say it.
He's a Venice Beach character, Peter Dante.
He's
very tanned. He's very muscly. He's very, like, chill, but actually not chill at all.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's a sense of danger about him that is behind a veneer of friendliness and openness, which I think is, like, most people you see on Venice Beach.
I think the analogy holds. It's good.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Speaking of the sort of extended Sandlerverse and Rob Schneider materials, you brought up, because we obviously we're Rob Schneider stands, you could say we've studied a lot of his work, but you brought up a film that neither of us have seen.
Oh yeah, Big Stan.
I've not seen Big Stan. I didn't even know of Big Stan until you brought it up.
Yeah, I don't want to tell you how to run a podcast, but your next podcast has to be watching Big Stan. For the length of time of his prison sentence in the movie Life.
What's the synopsis?
Okay,
on
so
this one?
Do you have a cell phone available? Mm-hmm. I think it's hard to like say it. Basically, Rob Schneider goes to prison and he's worried about his trip to prison.
For the traditional Rob Schneider comedy reasons.
Yeah, yeah.
2007.
Yeah.
1 year before the global financial crash. Coincidence? So Wikipedia probably, right?
Yeah, yeah, I'd say so.
Oh, didn't do well at the box.
Oh, yeah,
8.7, but then the budget probably wasn't crazy, eh? Oh, budget was 7.5, so yeah, it wasn't, it broke even.
Oh yeah, you're earning $1 million, you know, it's nothing to sneeze at.
Well, oh my god, oh, okay, maybe I should read this bit before the plot. Although released in some markets during the fall of 08, it was released straight to DVD in the US on March 24th, 2009. It debuted at number 17 on DVD rental charts of the week of March 23rd, 2009.
Don't include that. Get that off of Wikipedia. It doesn't have to be there. That's too embarrassing.
On the radio show Loveline, Schneider stated that this film is an anti-man raping film.
Oh my fuck.
Referring to
this is why I didn't go into the plot.
Okay, Stan Milton
oh god
is a rich real estate con artist who is married to Mindy. One day Stan is arrested for conning elderly people out of their savings, which he tries to do to Mrs. Darby. His lawyer Maul does all he can to defend him at trial. Upon being found guilty by the jury and sentenced to 3 years in prison while being given 6 months by Judge Perry.
Sorry, not life.
To get his affairs in order. Oh, he gets 6 months to get his affairs. That's not a standard. Judges don't let you do that. You'll go to prison for 3 years, but we'll do it in 6 months. To get his affairs in order, Stan panics. Stan panics, and fear of jailhouse rape leads him to hire the mysterious guru known as the Master.
Can I just say that whenever the star of the film is going around on the morning radio interview circuit and explicitly saying that this film
is an anti-man raping.
That's anti-stance. It's like, this is the real hot chili stuff.
It's so bad. Anyway, so he never really goes to jail. It's just him prepping to not be assaulted.
The master is portrayed by David Carradine, who didn't he die under quite tragic circumstances?
Yes.
And he is the martial arts expert that Stan is taking tutorship from.
Okay, so when this movie came out on DVD, debuting at number 17 on the charts.
For that week.
I was working at a DVD store that you may remember called the CD and DVD store.
R.I.P.
Yeah, great store.
Beautiful chain, yeah. So I was working at that.
I liked them better than Sounds.
Yeah, Sounds were the rubbish. We hated those, yeah. We work at the Newmarket Mall, and a very old woman, I'd say like 75. Can you imagine anything older? I don't think you can. Came into the store, and she asked me if we had a movie called Big Stan. And I was pretty surprised by this request. And
so
I was,
you knew what this movie
was?
Yeah, I
hadn't seen it at this stage.
Yeah.
And I said, I don't know. I haven't seen it in the shop. And I looked it up, and it was not in print in New Zealand. No one had thought to release it on DVD here.
Thought to.
And this is like Amazon, whatever, a lot of those things that made getting overseas movies very easy, like it is now.
Mm.
But we had a system. She could get it on a Region 1 DVD.
NTSC.
I could import it for her at a cost, getting the import fees, blah, 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 at a cost of around 80 to 90 New Zealand dollars.
Oh, my God. That's like 50 US dollars.
Yeah. For the movie Big Stan
in 2000.
And only on very specific DVD players could you play it in this country.
Like torrenting was a thing. Man. Like there were probably ways. I probably could have burned it for
She's as old as time itself.
So I told her
one foot in the grave.
And I was like, there's a good chance your DVD player won't be able to play this. And she was like, I'll take the risk.
Oh, my God.
And it took about, like, I'd say a month to 2 months to arrive. And we got quite a few phone calls from the lady being like, is Big Stan here yet? I've got to find out who she is. I don't know.
It's a shame this woman is almost definitely dead now, because otherwise it would be such a treat to have her on the podcast.
If she were alive now, she'd be 84.
My God.
Can you imagine it?
I literally can't. What life has this woman led? It's also interesting if you know something about Newmarket, because, like, this is an interesting clientele. It's a very rich area of Auckland. It's very affluent.
It's in our recent election where the left-wing party swept the nation. It was the only...
Centre-left.
Centre-left. Yeah, thank you, Tim. It was the only electorate that didn't vote party vote Labour.
Oh, my God, really?
In the entire country, yeah.
Holy shit.
So it's like the Orange County, you know, it's the... Yeah.
I guess after they, you know, we met up for their weekly movie club of Big Stan, they must all have a good time talking politics, making sure that everyone in the community is on the same page.
Well, we need to talk about what's going on in Newmarket, you know?
That's why they bought up all the houses. They have to stay rich so they can keep buying $90 Big Stan on DVD.
Schneider's next special.
The first thing I'll do when I earn a million. Head on down to the CD and DVD store.
In spite of how garbage this special is, it's been so good to watch it in person with people, eh? Because I've done a lot of these episodes of just me at that computer right there by myself, having to interface with Rob Schneider mano a mano. And it gets fucking grim. Mm. Really grim.
Mm.
This was fun,
though.
What's
the most grim part of the show for you?
It was the watches. But then it was getting really angry at Guy. And it's weird for me to say this now recounting, because this is going to be episode 3. So then it's going to like jump back into the series. But like, I got very angry at Guy, which was not, and I said this out loud, not his fault, not like deserved, but... Well, one of them was his insistence to continually reminding me why the title was what it was.
What is the title?
No. And the other component of it was just misplaced ill feeling at having to do it all the time.
I think it's you're honouring the structure of the show itself by plonking this episode third.
Yeah.
Mm. I think it the show is... The Asian Mom and Mexican Kids is completely formless.
This is a response to the work itself.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, I mean, it's a great special.
Can I bring up the spicy meatball that we said while this was on? And this might be an indictment on all of us. I'll own this. I said this. This was my opinion. Quite a tragedy that Trump was accidentally imbued with so much power, because we were watching this special going, man, there's a lot of both material choices and rhythm and delivery style that mimics Donald J. Trump style of public speaking.
It's formless, right?
Formless and it's repetitious. There's sort of a beat poetry element to what he decides to double down on. And it's very offensive.
And he's happiest when going off script.
That's right.
Especially at the expense of a ethnicity or culture of people.
But the bits where he's most clearly enjoying himself are the bits where he realizes he's stumbled into a little trick or something and he can keep repeating it.
About a minority.
Ideally.
Yeah. And that's why I stand by my theory that he wasn't supposed to be doing any of the accent work until he got there in the room.
But it was kind of like seeing a little slither of what it would be like to see Donald Trump do stand-up. And I think that Trump would have been... He's like got undeniable comic chops, Trump. Yeah. It's a lot of his success is down
it's
to.
It's because he doesn't care.
Yeah.
He doesn't care who... about anyone else, so he can cut absolutely sick.
He loves himself and he cares about nothing else. And Schneider's got it to an extent where he's willing to throw every one around him under the bus for the service of himself and his special.
But he also hates himself.
Yeah, well, I think
so. Schneider, Trump, if Trump hated himself,
but I think Trump hates. I think they both hate themselves. It's just how deep you need to go to find that truth. You don't get to be Trump if you are, like, well-adjusted and love yourself.
All of this to say, though, that you think it's a shame. The presidency essentially robbed us of...
Donald Trump, the comedian, the stand-up comedian, who I think would have been sensationally funny.
The novelty would have been curious.
Maybe that's all I'm into. I don't know. It's hard to tease out the two things.
Because of the amount of power and the impact he's had.
Purely the performative elements of it, just as a craft... display. I think Donald Trump would be a really good stand-up comedian. His material would probably be terrible.
I imagine him as a guy who would host really like rowdy open mic nights. And if a good comedian came and did it and they did really badly, he'd be like, that comedian ain't shit. Like, if you can't handle the terrible audience he builds and encourages to be awful, then you're a dog shit comedian.
Absolutely.
And
like, but he can assail it because he cares about nothing.
He's one of those like old dogs that everyone in the club scene like respects.
Because
he's been so shit at comedy, but like battled through it to have a career for so long.
But like doesn't get TV work or anything.
No.
Yeah. And would absolutely, you know, cuck it if he
represents everyone who has. He's an icon.
But do you think that like Schneider is Trumpian?
Oh yeah, I mean, I think a lot of the patter is, and like the way that they talk. If you imagined Trump's cadence on a lot of these things, it would not seem remarkable. Like it's sort of like watching it as Rob Schneider, it's interesting because you're watching it as if it's comedy. But like if it was all of that exact script was in Donald Trump's voice, you'd be able to tune it out in the background and just come in and out of these insane rhythms.
Yeah. You could put a lot of that show into like a men's rights keynote speech.
Yes.
And just remove the laughs and Rob just Schneider, be all,
you
all
could
anger.
You could call the special men's rights keynote speech.
It's so short as well. If you remove Al King, then it could be the keynote MRA.
Imagine, though, if he was doing the keynote speech at a men's rights event and still brought out Al King. It's like a gotcha. He's like, guys, respect your daughters, eh?
Yeah. That would actually be perfect. Like the perfect insulation against, he'd think he's gotten away with it, you know?
I think the saddest bit in the show is the big bit about how his wife has wanted to divorce him his entire marriage. It never really has a punchline.
No.
It's just he goes, I told her that after 3 years, you'll enjoy this. And then 3 years passes and she says,
I'm
not enjoying this. And I said, no, it's 5 years. And then 5 years passes. And
his punchline to that bit as well is, hey, wife, have you ever considered the fact that I'm the best thing that could happen to you and a partner?
And before he says it, he says, do you not realize that all of the problems you're bringing here are your these problems that you've specifically identified in the time we've been together are your problems? Pony up, I'm your Prince Charming.
I'm your Prince Charming is his articulation of it. And then he kind of like is talking about how if it was anyone else, this could be going so much worse, so you should stick with me, which was the point where Guy Montgomery said out loud, he is gaslighting his wife in front of an audience.
Yeah.
Was Al King... I reckon she wasn't listening to the show. I reckon she couldn't.
I don't think that the people, I don't think him, her or the pianist, I don't think would have walked out with quite the same gusto.
The pianist who's of Asian descent.
I'm going to get his name. He's a Japanese pianist.
At least Schneider spares the Japanese in his takedown of Asian America.
Do you reckon he had to scrape a bit?
it doesn't make it any more palatable. Also, the piano,
No, not at all. But right after the Korean whorehouse bit.
That's a funny sentence.
He finishes his Korean whorehouse bit to rampant applause. And then he goes, ladies
from
and gentlemen.
From all of us in the room. one of the instances where we tried to initiate applause at the show by doing it in the room.
And then he brings out his pianist, a Japanese guy. And like, you can't help but go, is this in relation to the Korean whorehouse bit?
It's not though. It's just to underscore his musings on Me Too.
You want to know something weird? I just Googled Rob Schneider pianist and it came up with Rob Schneider's Wikipedia page. Do most comedians have political party listed on their wikis?
He's an independent, isn't he?
According to this, he's a Republican, which is actually
he's endorsed Trump, right?
Me.
In the past.
No.
Read it!
Surely.
Have you not read this?
No, I've not read this.
Read it, find out.
Okay, well, open it up. But what I was trying to do, which someone should really do, is get the name. We mentioned it in other episodes of the very good classical pianist.
Yeah, he's doing a beautiful job. Bit of jazz-infused classical.
Yeah. How much do you think he got paid, Joseph? Because we toy around with this question.
That is a really good question. Netflix...
Oh, I meant the pianist, but let's do the whole...
No, I think, but they'll have a solid budget for the show. I know... Netflix just, you know, give everyone lots of money. Everyone, even the subscribers, you get a little
little Christmas bonus.
I reckon the pianist got paid $3,000.
Wow.
Not worth it.
That's south of what I thought.
Really?
Yeah, I thought between sort of 8 to 10.
I think you'd get a... Oh yeah, maybe
there's a
bit
lot
more.
Of taxes and stuff as well in the state. Like, there's
I think
a
after
lot
tax,
of,
after tax,
after tax. You reckon after he's got
Utah a tax haven?
Why did they film it? Why did they film in Utah?
Because you figured it out.
Well, yeah. Oh, okay. So Utah is not a very diverse state. It's 5% Asian and I think 12% Hispanic was the stats I got. That's just me remembering. I could be a bit off there. If you compare that to California, where Rob lives with his Asian mama and Mexican kids. That's a place with a really large Asian and Mexican population.
Yeah.
Why didn't he want to do the jokes for those people? Because...
He knew.
He knew. He knew and they would not like them.
That's the amazing thing, that he seems to have a level of self-awareness to know that what he's doing is kind of off or wrong, but he'll find the tiny slither of America where it's like, nah, I can fucking smash it in Utah.
I do not think that slither of America is specifically tiny. I think it's... probably runs quite fat through the middle of America.
Yeah, geographically, but population-wise.
However many people voted...
What?
Republican.
Oh, well, it's not specifically...
Who can perform those jokes.
I think he performed in Utah because
California had COVID restrictions.
Let me stand up for the GOP, the party of Abraham Lincoln. Just because you voted Republican doesn't mean that you are as antagonistic as Rob is to all women in your life and to ethnic minorities in the state that you're in.
Not exactly. But you might find it funny.
So interestingly, I've gone onto the political views part of Schneider's wiki. So he was a lifelong Democrat until 2013, where he switched parties.
Yeah, it's Obama.
You're right.
This Obama is too much.
He was like, one I'll do. That second term, no, it's too many. It's too much.
Again, this is what I'm worried about. This is what we can all turn into, boys.
He said the state of...
if your film career goes as planned.
The state of California is a mess, and the supermajority of Democrats is not working. And then the Wikipedia swiftly goes on to Rob Schneider's anti-vaccination activism, beginning thusly. Schneider has been an outspoken critic of childhood vaccinations, claiming they cause autism.
Yes.
Yeah, I think that's quite enough of time we've made for Rob Schneider's political views on the podcast.
You could well be right.
And we've probably covered it. I mean, we're going to be covering this four more times about 2 months ago. So thank you so much to Joseph for rejoining us for this episode.
It's been a treat. I'd like to say something to Rob Schneider's wife.
Patricia.
Yeah. So Schneider says you want to divorce him, but you're too afraid. And to you, Patricia, I say, you can do it.
Thank you very much, Joseph Moore. How can people find you online?
At JosephMoore1 on Twitter. I tweet up to twice a week.
Great.
Nice. And you deleted Instagram.
Yeah, man. I'm free, baby.
That's so baller. Do you have, a website?
No.
I used to love your Instagram. I think I've told you multiple times. One of my faves.
Well, let's say this then. If you ever get the opportunity where you are to see Two Hearts, which is the musical comedy act that Joseph comprises half of with his now fiancée, Laura Daniel, you fucking gotta go.
We'd love to have you there.
The productions are so big and beautiful, and they are so funny. Guy, you want to say anything? You want to say anything about me?
No.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.